Peace to you from the Prince of Peace. Amen. So the silencing of Zechariah, it's quite an extraordinary scene if you start delving into it. Zechariah was a priest who, you know, we make our living up here talking with our voice, right? His vocation, his job was to bless, to pray, to teach, and there he stands like a quarterback without an arm, voiceless in the temple, unable to fulfill his temple service, to finish by giving that blessing that puts God's name on people. He can't do it. Zechariah is a descendant of the priestly family of Aaron. You know, Aaron, whose part in the Exodus was to speak eloquently for Moses, who couldn't. Aaron's job was to speak well, and here a descendant of Aaron is unable to utter a word. The irony goes even further than that, because Zechariah, right? Remember, these Hebrew names are really kind of mini little sentences. They're descriptions. Zechariah means the God of the covenant remembers. God remembers. When Gabriel told Zechariah that his wife Elizabeth would have a child, God was remembering his people just as he promised he would. When the Bible speaks of God remembering, it's not just God reminiscing about the good old days. When God remembers, God acts. So God remembered his people on the day that Gabriel told Zechariah that he would have a miraculous son, a son who would come to prepare the people for the promised Messiah. God's actions that day in the temple fulfilled Zechariah's own name in the most amazing way. And yet, the one whose name means God remembers didn't believe that God could or would remember or even act. He forgot. He forgot God's faithfulness, his trustworthiness. He forgot what God did for Abraham and barren Sarah, Isaac and barren Rebekah, Jacob and barren Rachel, and in case we just learned about Elkanah and barren Hannah, right? And the birth of Samuel. He forgot, Zechariah forgot how good God is, and he doubted God's word, and yet Zechariah and Elizabeth are both described as righteous before God. How can that be? Well, because their hope was in the Lord and his promise to act and to send the promised Messiah. They believed. We all sin. Faith is what gets us through. Repentance and then absolution, right? Zechariah, no doubt, prayed all the time that Messiah would come. The tyranny of Rome is over them. The tyranny of Herod is oppressing them. Pontius Pilate is not a nice guy, right? All of this is going on. They want that Messiah to come. You know, Zechariah prayed, and yet, here's the thing. When the Lord actually answered his prayer, he doubted the words of the angel. He said, if that's true, do a miracle and prove it. His offense was not in expecting too much from God, but expecting too little. I once read a story about a beggar who happened to be in the streets as Alexander the Great, the guy who actually conquered the entire world, was riding by in his coach. And he put out his hand, asked Alexander the Great for a gift. And feeling particularly generous that day, Alexander ordered the beggar to be given the government of 5 cities. The beggar was taken by surprise and said, "I wasn't asking for that much." Alexander the Great said, "You ask like the man you are. I give like the man I am." Our God gives like the God he is. He is generous. He is exceedingly, exceedingly great. And his promises are precious. He invites us to ask and has promised to answer. He gives us more than we either desire or deserve. He is exceedingly generous. That's who he is. But we are too much like Zechariah. We forget. We forget the God who remembers. We don't expect much because that's who we are. We, like Zechariah, are all called to be, right, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. But we're like priests called to deliver the good news to all people, but we're priests that forget and don't speak. God's indescribable goodness has made you his royal priests through holy baptism. God, in mercy, has chosen you to be his own possession, has set apart your mouth, your voice, to do priestly work, hasn't he? All of us are to pray and to teach and to proclaim the goodness of God. We have every reason to be bold and confident in our prayers, but we all do it, don't we? We doubt. We think things like, what good will my prayers really do? But you have every reason to be confident. The problem is, there's doubt. And God knows what he's doing, but we sometimes doubt that he does. We sometimes think maybe he needs a little help, right? You have every reason to live with joy in all circumstances, knowing that you are a beggar who has been given a kingdom. But we live and think and pray like God is stingy, like Ebenezer Scrooge. You are a royal priest of the King of Kings, but you, if you think about it, you insult the king by just not expecting all that much. We often ask like people of little faith, and it grieves the Holy Spirit who is calling us and holding us in faith. We are so much like Zechariah. We so easily forget God's fatherly goodness, but in spite of all the times when we forget, God doesn't. God remembers. He doesn't forget his promises. He doesn't forget his children. He remembered Zechariah's prayer, and he acted. God gave Zechariah, in fact, a great deal more than Zechariah ever imagined he could have. I'm sure he had already come to the place where he knew there's no children in our life. And he probably was coming to the point of saying, I'm an old man. Messiah will not come in my time. God gave him so much more than he expected. Zechariah hoped for the Messiah, and God gave the Messiah within his own lifetime, and more than that, a nephew. Jesus and John the Baptist, Zechariah's son, are cousins. His nephew would be, from an earthly point of view, right, the Messiah, who is true God and true man. The ultimate instance of God remembering us was when that one to whom John the Baptist was pointing, the one who is the greatest and most faithful of high priests, came, right? He would remember that one. He would remember perfectly and trust the Father's faithfulness in our place. He would always have a confident hope in God, even in the most hopeless of situations. He would do all of this so that his faithfulness would be given to you, credited to you. And that's what happens in your baptism. He would be not only the most holy priest, but also the most holy Lamb. The Lamb of God sacrificed for you. The Lamb of God whose blood would pay for all that doubt, all that mistrust, and all those puny expectations from a mighty God. Because God has remembered us, we have a great high priest. He used his voice mightily to bless and to pray and to teach and to call all sinners to salvation. He was the most faithful priest, but he chose to be silent before his accusers and to go to an unjust death in our place. He was greater than Aaron. He was the greatest Aaron, if you will, right? In the Ancient of Days, priests, when they prayed, would hold out their arms. How did Jesus hang on a cross? like a praying priest, with his arms stretched out, giving the most amazing and eloquent absolution for sin. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He is the greater Zechariah who always remembers. He never lost hope in his father, that his father would raise him from the dead. He is your eternal high priest, seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, as your intercessor and your advocate. We are children of the Holy One, children of the Most High. We should never forget who we are. Like Zechariah, we're poor. We're pitiful beggars. We don't deserve all this stuff from God, but we have to never forget that though we're sometimes not worth the dirt we're made out of, we're called a child of one who is worth everything, who made everything, who is everything. That's who you are. That's what baptism has made you to be. God remembers. God remembers and forgives you and makes you holy. And when God remembers, he acts through absolution. You are declared perfect in his sight. He remembers your need for holiness, and so he again acts and makes you holy, dwells within you in holy baptism. He remembers your need to be strengthened and encouraged and to live under the crosses that we bear in this place with patience and joy, and so God acts, giving you that strength through the Holy Supper. It's all there to feed us and strengthen us. The whole Advent season is about reminding us that we are waiting for the appearing, the second coming of our blessed hope. Advent is remembering the first coming, but for us, knowing that first coming has already come, right? Messiah has come. His name is Jesus. He came. Advent for us is more than that. Advent for us is waiting for him to come again, to bring us into that glorious kingdom where we'll get more than that beggar who got the government of 5 cities. It's a kingdom beyond anything we can imagine. God always exceeds our puny expectations. We ask him for some comfort for our wounded conscience, and he applies a double portion. We ask him, like beggars, to give us a little help, and he gives us a kingdom. We ask for help enduring the pains of life, and he gives us the promise of full and complete healing in the resurrection and eternal life. At the birth of John the Baptist, Zechariah's voice would again be heard. But another child's birth, soon following, louder voices would be heard. Angels would be heard singing peace to his people on earth. This Advent season, we're going to ask the question, what child is this? This is the child. This is Jesus Christ, the Savior. Zechariah's hope and ours. Amen.